just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek, brought to you by the Rock Creek Free Press.
Welcome to another New American Dream radio show. Tonight, the poet who joined us on our very first show will be returning. Mike will be talking with Ava Bird in a little while, and then I'll visit with Mickey Z., the prolific and versatile self-educated writer lives with his wife, Michelle, in New York City. I look forward to both of those. We think of April as having those showers that bring the flowers, of being the beginning of spring. Actually, spring's been here about a month already. Frozen rivers and lakes are mostly thawed by now. I hope no one was walking or riding there at the time. Many years back, I rode a snowmobile on a frozen lake. It's a lake about 100 miles north of where my co-host Mike Pelichek lives now, Lake Vermilion. My uncle and aunt and their five kids built a cabin on that lake. I have many fond memories of visiting them various times of the year. When I say they build it, I'm not talking about them getting a contractor out there to do it for them based on something some architect drew up. I'm not talking about some manufactured house dropped in the wilderness either. I'm talking about a family getting together, carrying in lumber and tools and creating something wonderful for themselves. Actually, several wonderful things. Not least of them, the memories and the fellowship from creating and using that enchanted cabin. That's the kind of thing that would fit into my new American dream. If only it didn't require so much money to do it. Opportunities to build a better world together should not be limited to the privileged few. My family did share a great deal. They had students and other visitors from all over the world, and Chicken Joan went on to found clinics in Africa in two separate one-year stints as medical missionaries. But the money my grandfather made and that Chick made as surgeons, that money was a necessary ingredient to make possible things like the cabin on Lake Vermilion. Whatever I might have gotten of that inherited money or the money I used to make as an engineer is long gone. I won't be building any cabins on secluded lakes. When I have visitors, usually they have to pay for my supper. I'm not complaining, mind you. The editing and web design I do now are the most emotionally rewarding jobs I've ever had. I deal directly with my clients. Both they and I grow from the encounters. Sometimes maybe we make a little bit of difference in the world. What more could I possibly want? And now I'm going to turn this over to my co-host to tell you what he wants. And here he is, Mike Pelichek, an American writer.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm not sure I can add anything to that. What an act to follow there. But the new American dream, what is this all about? Well, I think it's about becoming the country and the people we have always thought we were. It's about allowing everything to be open for discussion, including the moon landings, UFOs, Bigfoot, 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, Waco, the killings of the Kennedys, Martin King, Paul Wellstone. And what about the recent Japanese nuclear disaster and the invasion of Libya? Our history shows that we cannot trust our major news organs or our government to tell us the truth, because the most profound events in the history of mankind are the thus far successful lies about the involvement of the U.S. government in the attacks of September 11th, the faking of the moon landings, the CIA overthrows of governments around the world, the murders of the Kennedys and King, Oklahoma City, Waco, the control of the media. It's the whole subversive takeover of the U.S. in the spirit of the Soviet Union. while, unlike the people of the Soviet Union, we Americans still believe we are free. If someone lies to me, I'm going to question whatever else they say. And if they keep lying to me, wouldn't I be a fool to keep believing? You know, the moon landing, I remember, I think I can almost remember back to that night. We came in from playing outside to stand in the living room and watch on the black and white TV. We stood there sweating from running around, and we said, cool, and went back outside. And who would have ever thought to question whether it was true? Well, I would encourage you to see the press conference on the Internet after the supposed moon landing with astronauts Aldrin, Armstrong, and Collins. And they just look extremely subdued and guilty of something. And also, I would encourage you to listen to Bart Sobrell on Jim Fetzer's radio show, The Real Deal. And after all this lying, the Bushes still ride in a golf cart down the third baseline waving to the crowd. Karl Rove, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney walk free. Condoleezza Rice teaches at Stanford. Rather than being locked up forever in one of these high-tech concentration camps we have, like in Florence, Colorado, shuffling off to the shower each morning wearing ankle shackles and a waist chain and fluorescent orange pajamas for the rest of their lives. If we're going to have these insane places like Florence, we might as well put the worst of the worst there, and that would be George and George Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, and whatever other dozens that have conspired and continue to conspire to overthrow this country, who know the truth and don't tell the rest of us, FBI Director Mueller, General Tommy Franks, and all the other generals who acted as commentators on NPR and Fox, ensuring us that the coming war was so cool, so good, so right. And now we have how many hundreds of thousands of dead human beings in Iraq and Afghanistan? Just people who were living their lives and found themselves in the way of the American quest for gold, for dominance. And the thousands of young Americans who have died or had their lives ruined because of a lie. A huge, amazing lie perpetrated by men and women we asked in good faith to lead us on our way. In May, Frontline will show a documentary about the soldiers at Fort Carson, 17 of whom have been charged or convicted with murder, and 36 have committed suicide since returning from Iraq. And then the continuing charade of Guantanamo, and with the stealth candidate Obama, it continues. Bush, Obama, Card, Clinton, Fleischer, Wolfowitz, Ashcroft, Pearl, O'Reilly, Hannity, Couric, Lauer, Williams, Rather, Jennings, Brokaw, Limbaugh, Blitzer, Sawyer, Rivera. All those names who, if history ever writes itself, will be synonymous with Goebbels, Goring, and Himmler. Yes, these successful lies are more profound than anything else in world history ever. It's just all so very well done. It's who we are. Americans don't make cars, but we do killing machines and psyops, like the Greeks did truth, philosophy, science, astronomy, discovery. And so the most profound big thing about this big thing called America is that it is a highly successful lie. And you can say that's conspiracy tinfoil to think like that about the Bushes and the assassinations and such, but I say it's just paying attention. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C., until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city. On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Palachek.
And now on to the news brief.
Chuck and I do not, of course, believe that we actually have anything close to a real news report in these briefs. We can only hope to highlight some events and persons we feel are important and not as widely known as we believe they should be. So from time to time, we mention Lori Price at CLG, and there's No Lies Radio, Len Osynek and Black Op Radio, Kevin Barrett, Jim Fetzer, Peter Collins on the radio. And there are others who you would think would get it, but they don't seem to. Oberman, Maddow, Colbert, Bill Maher, Jon Stewart, Common Dreams, Daily Kos, Truth Out, all the really high-traffic liberal websites and writers, Harper's, Atlantic Monthly, The Progressive, The Nation, do you think they would really tell you the truth? I don't, and I don't know why, but I wonder. And I also don't think any of the so-called regular newspapers would tell the truth, and I wonder if that isn't part of the reason why newspapers are becoming dinosaurs. In the last few weeks in our news briefs, we rushed through a list of imprisoned resistors, the list from the nuclear resistor, and also news of the sentences imposed on the Disarm Now Plowshares group in Tacoma. We think that's important and not widely known. And it's just very surprising, not surprising, just very wrong, that we don't know much about Carl Cabot, Jonah House, the Plowshares actions since the 80s, Helen Woodson, this woman who has been in prison since the mid-1980s. I think it's just unbelievable that these are not names that are in our history books. And so what we are saying is, here's something earth-shaking, shattering, yet largely ignored, like broccoli on the buffet, but it's oh so good for you. Give it a try. You'll like it. Mikey likes it.
So we just ask you to be aware of the many little people out there, like this radio show, trying to fill in the huge gap left by CBS News, Clear Channel, National Public Radio, Nightline, all those liars and cowards. Be aware of Sam Smith and the Progressive Review, Lori Price and Citizens for Legitimate Government, Len Osynek and Black Op Radio, Kevin Barrett, Jim Fetzer, Peter Collins, and also the Rock Creek Free Press, Information Clearinghouse, the Nuclear Resistor, along with dozens of local Catholic worker newspapers around the country. Also, World News Trust, to provide a mix of original and syndicated content, giving you a look at current issues. And we need to remember our elders, something not encouraged by our schools. That's a big part of the new American dream. Seeking a way around the non-education that we receive in our school. Remember the socialists, wobblies, anarchists, communists who fought for the eight-hour day. Social Security, suffrage, all that. How about the folks who had the foresight to give us county, state, and national parks? The so-called leaders of today would cut and burn and bulldoze anything. Remember Lucy Parsons and Eugene Debs and Emma Goldman and all those people. Remember those who endured the McCarthy days and the Palmer raids and the Japanese internment. And recall that good things, when they happen, don't just happen. It might really just seem like that, because for most of our lives, we've lived within the warm afterglow of the sacrifices of others. We may soon learn it all depends on us.
The greatest generation was not those who mindlessly obeyed and went off to kill others. The greatest generation will be the one that understands what America really has been, has become, and that stands up, jumps up, heaves up off the sofa, out the door, into the street and says, F this. F this rule by the rich, secrets upon secrets that I'm not allowed to know. F this, people disappeared and murdered because they want to know the truth, because they were a witness to something and just wanted to tell the rest of us. F this, I'm tired of listening to idiots on the radio, idiots on the television, idiots in my newspaper. They are so old American dream, all about money and wealth and expansion of empire. We have a new American dream, and that dream is of all about tax dollars for the poor, sidewalks in Cleveland and Detroit, schools in Harlem and Birmingham. It's all about bulldozing prison walls and opening the borders to huddled masses yearning to be free. The new American dream is about a wide-open truth commission on the lawn of the White House, with lawn chairs and American flags, just like at the parade down Main Street that celebrates killing brown and black people. And we will sit there in the sun and find out who killed Robert Kennedy, who killed John Kennedy, who killed Martin King, who did 9/11, who killed Paul Wellstone. We will find out who runs our elections, who elbows out candidates like Kucinich, Paul, Cynthia McKinney. Who decides all these things for us? We don't like that, and we want to know how it happens, and we want it changed. And we will go home carrying our lawn chairs, and we will really be America at last, at long effing last. It's all about being the real America we always thought we were. Effing A, we got this.
And that's the way it is. September, or April 21st, 2011.
Okay. Hello, and I'd like to now welcome our guest poet, Ava Bird from Berkeley. Ava is an activist writer, a raw food chef, and a divine seeker of sustainable living. She is the author of two new combustible, edgy, and hilarious books of poetry and prose, Rage Against the War Machine and The New Now, soon to be released by Beatitude Press of Berkeley. For copies, please write to Ava at ompoem@hotmail.com. Hello, Ava.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us today.
Excellent. Thanks for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure.
Anything new happening? How's your book coming?
Pretty good. It's doing pretty good. It's I'm doing readings and it's going good.
So it has been released.
Well, I have a couple of copies. I'm waiting for a big shipment to come from a printer in Utah. And then I'll have as many as I could possibly need.
Cool. So if people want copies of your new book, they write to you at this at your email address, ompoem@hotmail.com?
Yes, I can send it. Okay. I can send them, and I'll have a fresh batch also in about another week, too. So if I run out, I can always get more.
Cool. Could you read a couple of poems for us?
I would love to. I've got so many poems that accentuate what you're saying on your show and what you send out on your newsletters, which I always enjoy getting. So, the New American Dream also is thanked in my book. So you can look out for your name and the New American Dream in there. So, this one I'll read, is untitled. It's not in my new book because I just wrote it, but, I thought you might enjoy this. Okay, so Pam ponders intensely on her seemingly hamster wheel existence, wage slaves and caffeine freaks to stay asleep, awake at a dead-end job to pay taxes on corporate warfare, aerial bombing in faraway places with her tax dollars, genocide with her own blood money, bombs on the other side of the world, our Mother Earth done in the lying name of corporate welfare, God and oil, and the first black president ain't representing but a Zionist pimping blood diamonds and bombs in the Middle East. Where's the democracy? The peace and love of the 60s got knocked up on pain pills and pornographic ill thrills buried in medical bills from a prick and a white coat. Damn, don't I wish for some good old days. So, should I read another one?
Yep, just go, keep going, Ava. We have time for one more, and maybe we'll talk a little bit after that.
Okay. Let's see. I've got a funny one called Right Wing Fag Hags. It's a prosy type. I'll read it. It's out of my book. You might laugh a little. So, I was listening to the FM radio in this rental car yesterday, flipping around and scanning all the channels down deep on the left side of the dial. And I happened upon the station way down on the dial where the weird stuff is, you know. And I heard these intense, heart-rending songs, these incredibly powerful, wailing love songs. It was so emotionally jarring that as I tuned in to listen a little closer, it sounded like the poor dude was having a nervous breakdown. So out of sheer compassion, I stayed at the station to see if the guy was going to be okay and what this is all about. And as it turns out, these heart-wrenching love ballads were of a man singing about another man. And it was all very surreal, but this being Los Angeles, I quickly became unsurprised and thought, wow, the gays finally get their own radio station. Oh, the times, how they are changing. So I thought I would stay tuned on the station a little longer and patiently wait out the corny and obsessed love songs and hear some great groovy dance music. And imagine my surprise, disappointment, humor, when I discovered that the station is actually a right-wing Christian radio station. And this guy was crying over some guy named Jesus Christos. So that was called Right Wing Fag Hags, and that was my ode to a lot of different things. People like that. Usually when I read that out, people buckle over laughing.
Thank you very much, Ava. Do you have one more short one?
Sure. Just want to say I really like what you guys are doing, and I love tuning into your station, and it always sounds good.
Thank you very much.
See, how about, this is called The Trip. 5 million starving, ecstatic, happy singing Hindus can't be all wrong. Third eyes and incense, artists, poets, co-ops, cops, and paraphernalia. LSD intermittently, Leary's League of Spiritual Development. Esoteric to ecstatic states, mantras, dancing and chanting, abstract expressionist, prose and poetic beats, became 60s Haight-Ashbury hippies. Tripping through hot and cold wars, hash, Vietnam industrial complex, military messes, led to a heroin complex, Mary Jane sex, psilocybin and ancient tribalism, shamans, shawomens, releasing energies of transcendental humanity, mirroring cosmic consciousness, opening with flowers and mushrooms and powerful trips back to better days ahead.
Thank you, Ava.
So I picked that one based on I recently wrote something that I thought that the real greatest generation was the generation that actually spurned a revolution and an evolution in consciousness, which happened in the 60s. And to me, those are the real greatest generations, the ones that created change and radical thinking.
I would agree. Could you tell us a little more about how to get your book?
Sure. Just email me, and I'll send you a copy. It's Om Poem. It's O-M P-O-E-M, Om Poem at Hotmail.
How much does it cost?
And my books are $13.
Okay, so that people would write to you. Is there a website where they can read samples or learn more about the book?
My website is called ompoem.com. It should be up. Where I'm actually in the process of putting the last final finishing touches on the website, and it should be up in about a week or so. So, and that all that stuff will be on there.
Sounds very good.
Actually have a link also to the New American Dream on there.
Thank you very much.
Hey, and you're also another poet that you've had on your show, Rex Butters, who's a great poet. He's got some work up on my site also. So, yeah, and you're welcome to send me if you have things that you want to share. I'm happy to put them up on my site. I have a community page.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more of your work, and I always like tuning in to hear what you guys are saying. I know you're doing the heroic work of, you know, talking about people that are in prison that should not be, and you know, giving acknowledgement and attention to people that really need it.
That really means a lot, and we Chuck and I both appreciate that. That's very cool. We believe it or not, we really do work hard at it, and sometimes it comes out and sometimes it doesn't. But we really appreciate you coming on, and please come back again soon.
I'd love to. Thanks again for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. And again, great work, and keep it all up. We need it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
This portion of our program is being sponsored by President Barack Obama's Even More Change Reelection Committee. You want health care? We got it. You want to end the war? We got it. You want Guantanamo closed? We got it. Bush administration prosecuted for carrying out 9/11, starting two wars for no reason? And we got that too. We've got even more change, more hope, more good things coming to you next 4 years. Even more change, even more hope. Barack Obama, the audacity.
Tonight's show also being sponsored by the classic hit TV show Dancing with the Stars, the Stanley Kubrick movie of the Apollo moon landings. Yeah, we went to the moon. It was on TV right after My Favorite Martian and before Bewitched. It was real. Get over it. Dancing with the Stars. Because we know if it's on TV, it's reality. And also by a grant from Warm and Fuzzy Smallpox Blankets of Muncie, Indiana. Made in the USA, good old American know-how. Smallpox blankets, drone airplanes, anthrax, and nuclear weapons. Bombs, bullets, fighter planes, our products. Welcome to life in 21st century America, where our products are death, destruction, low-paying jobs, and the tossing overboard of the poor, sick, and elderly, all to support the war racket. Made in the USA, making American defense contractors strong, keeping our Army strong and our Navy strong, our car dealer shops strong, and our country clubs strong. Warm and Fuzzy, Smallpox Blankets of Muncie. And this public service announcement brought to you by Rolaids and the American Spelling Bee Council of Bowling Green. How do you spell Al-Qaeda? Can you use that in a sentence, please? Yes. Al-Qaeda, the evil towel heads, what drove the planes into the towers and the Pentagon, and now we have to take our clothes off to fly in an airplane, and they do more stuff every day, it seems, and we are scared of them, so we don't care if we have freedom of speech or nothing, because we are Americans, and we have car racing, and we can kill animals, and we have our guns to keep us safe from deer and elk. And we really don't know our elbows from our behinds, because we want our guns, and we salute the troops and the flag and the parade and say, way to go, killing those kids in the mountains over there, because it was Bush who did 9/11 and not those kids, and we really don't know nothing. The word origin, please, evil. How do you spell Al-Qaeda? Is it A-L-Q-U-A-D-A, A-L-K-A-Y-D-A, A-L-Q-A-E-D-A, A-L-Q-A-I-D-A, E-L-Q-U-E-D-A? We spell it C-I-A every time. And make sure to watch this next Wednesday night on CBS after American Idol. Are you smarter than a prison guard?
And now, as I mentioned earlier, tonight's special guest, Mickey Z. I've known Mick for a few years, since I published his book, No Innocent Bystanders, in 2008. At that time, my co-host, said that Mick is someone not afraid of conservatives or liberals, not afraid of preserving today's lifestyle, today's routine. A New Yorker, reporting and writing and running and walking around in the great tradition of the first New York journalists, the ancient idealists, the good guys. I wonder if he was thinking of, what, Horace Greeley? God, Mick reminds me more of Damon Runyon. Eh? That's a good thing. Mickey Z has a new novel coming out, A Darker Shade of Green. Despite having a color in the title, it doesn't feature John D. McDonald's famous character, Travis McGee, but it does have chess players, radicals, rich people, homeless people, and more. People defending our planet. And naturally, it takes place in New York City. Mick, welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, good. I've been wondering about your inspiration for the new book. Can you tell us a little bit?
Well, the main character, you mentioned homeless, the main character's name is Ali Romano. I actually created him as a character many, many years ago and haven't been able to find the story that fits his character completely. He makes a cameo appearance in my first two novels, CPR for Dummies and Dear Vito, but Darker Shade of Green is finally where I realized that he could come to fruition. And to put it simply, his character, this homeless man, and befriends and becomes a mentor of a 12-year-old boy who's run away from Boston and run away from a pre-planned affluent life. And they bond in a way that, because a 12-year-old can see the world a lot simpler and clearer than many adults, and Allie has chosen, as he enters into adulthood, to not grow up in that sense, to still have a beginner's mind, or the new eyes that Proust talked about. So they bond in that sense and connect in their ability to recognize what's happening right in front of them without being blinded by the hype and the propaganda and the spin that have influenced so many of us.
So this character is almost like a Kilgore Trout type recurring character for you. Are your characters based on real life people you've met, or do they come to you in your own minds?
In my previous book, there are a couple of characters who are based very closely to people I've met, but in general, they start out like that you come across somebody that influences you, and then the beauty of fiction is that you're able to expand on that, and you can give this based on real life character any characteristics that you choose. And I think that's part of the reason why I chose this particular story in terms of it being fiction, because as you well know, in the culture we currently live in, a lot of forms of dissent are not exactly welcome, and they might be a little bit more palatable and accessible when coming in what's officially called fiction. So I think that's where I finally decided Ali Romano would have his place and able to give voice to some ideas that I think need to be heard.
A few years back, when I was writing about one of Mike's books, I mentioned that I thought there was often more truth in fiction than there was in the news or in what passes for nonfiction, certainly for history. So I think you made a wise choice in making this picture.
Yeah, there's a Noam Chomsky once said something, and I'm paraphrasing, that along the lines of, we can learn a lot more about human psychology from reading novels than from reading any textbook. And I think if I'm reading his theme correctly, I think it's sort of what you're saying, and I kind of agree with it. It can be an incredible teaching tool, incredibly more accessible than nonfiction. So I'm happy to have three novels out now in which I think I've been able to expound on ideas that maybe just wouldn't work in a nonfiction setting.
Do you find that you keep your characters in control, or do they tend to take over and run away with the book?
That's the fun part. Yeah. You kind of sit down with an idea, and then you just see where it takes you. And when I say it takes you, often it's the characters, because you become attached to them, or at least you hope you do, and you begin to really start to hear them, because you're getting deeper and deeper into what they may or may not do. And maybe your original idea starts to ring false. You say, well, they would never say that. They would never do that. And that's where it gets to be really fun. And again, that's where I like to sometimes choose fiction over nonfiction, because you have that creative license and you have the ability to follow the muse a bit, while, you know, nonfiction is a little bit more structured. So I feel fortunate that I get to publish books in both areas, and it's been a lot of fun to have fiction out there, without a doubt.
Well, good. I wanted to compliment you on some of the photographs that I saw on your website, in particular one taken from a train. I really liked that picture. You're a photographer?
I guess in name only.
I mean, along with everything else?
It's long been one of my favorite art forms to experience, but I've never indulged, despite my interest, and I was finally given a small digital camera as a gift, and it's kind of taken on a life of its own. And I guess my favorite part about the photography is that I've made a very conscious choice, as opposed to writing, to do it without any idea of trying to sell pictures or be called a quote-unquote photographer. I really do it in the sense of being an amateur, where the root of that word amateur is AMA, which is to do something that you love. I just really, really love taking pictures. And the feedback, and believe me, I really appreciate what you're saying, the feedback has been so exciting and so unexpected, how many people come to my page to check out the photos, that it's been one of the highlights of the past year of my life. And I feel like in some ways it's heightened my sense and my eye, is that when I'm out and about, I find myself far more aware and alert as to what's going on around me, which then by proxy helps me as a writer, because that's what it's all about. You just really want to maintain as open a mind as possible and see things in as many different ways as possible, and hopefully you get to share that with people and opportunities like this being on your show.
Well, I know that every part of my life somehow seems to be tied into all the other parts in some strange and unexpected way. So I definitely can, relate to what you're saying there. Why don't you tell us about your upcoming talks? I think you have one near the end of April. Are you celebrating a birthday or something?
Yes, I am. It's actually when I found out that Darker Shade of Green, published by Raw Dog Screaming Press, who I'm extremely grateful for because they've published two of my novels, when I found out it was going to be released on April 27th, I noticed that 3 days later, being my birthday, fell on a Saturday night, and I said, well, that's an ideal night to do an event. So I called up my favorite bookstore here in New York City, Blue Stockings, down on the Lower East Side, and they had an opening, and so we set up an event where I would be doing a talk. I don't really read from the book when I do the talks. I kind of freelance and kind of riff off of the basic ideas, so I don't call it a reading. It's more of a talk, and it's my little way of marking my own birthday, and I've never really thrown a party for myself, so I guess this is about as close as it gets. So I'm really hoping that folks will come down to Blue Stockings on April 30th and hear some, hopefully an interesting talk, and have some fun at the same time.
Well, you can bet I would be there if I weren't 1,000 miles away. But
Well, maybe we'll get it videoed in this way. I could put it up and everybody can experience it afterwards.
Hey, that'd be good. Mick, we only allot a short time for our guests, and we've about wrapped it up.
Okay.
But I've really enjoyed visiting with you, and I hope you'll stop by again. And is there anything you'd like to shout out to our listeners by way of closing?
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me on, and thank you for publishing my book, No Innocent Bystanders, and for all the work that you and Mike do. It's deeply appreciated. I know sometimes you might feel like you're just yelling into the wilderness, but it makes a difference, and we need as many radical and revolutionary people out there as possible. And I do hope that the listeners will come by MickeyZ.net, find out how to check out my work, my most recent book being Darker Shade of Green, or anything else that I've written, or if you're in New York City, come to the talk. Or just send me an email and get in touch, because I'd love to hear from people and share ideas.
Thank you so much, Mick.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Okay.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. In spring, it's always the big question that's on people's minds when they go to church. Will they have the heat turned on? Or maybe trying to save a little money and being overly optimistic, as is usual in spring, the janitors in collusion with the pastors might just crank the thermostat down a bit. Most of the children don't mind. They don't even notice whether there's heat on or not. They just want out. Want to get let out while there's still time to save the day. Tommy Moskowitz, he's a kid. I heard that he kind of has the town buzzing just a little bit. Not that it ever really buzzes very hard, but this kid, well, anyway, there he goes.
I was over on my bike the other day by the church. It was freezing cold, but I ride my bike all year. You go fast, you can fly over all the front steps. Johnny and me were resting, sitting on our bikes. He says to me, "That's God's house." "It's church," I said. "He's in there," he said. "My grandma goes there to talk to God." My eyes must have been huge, because Johnny said, "No, really." He said, "Go in there and see. See God." I shook my head. "I dare you. Go," Johnny said. So I said, "You can't," because I didn't want to. It's huge. There's statues that don't move or talk. There's a little thing with a dead guy on the front above the door. I've never really been to church. Go on. God's in there. It's his house. Johnny didn't understand. I didn't need to be convinced. I just wanted to stay outside on my bike and blow breath smoke. He's got to always be in there in case my grandma comes to visit, Johnny said. God doesn't have nowhere to go. He doesn't have to mow the lawn. Mr. and Mrs. Pierce does that. He doesn't eat, so he doesn't have to go buy milk or Cheerios, anything like that. He's got nowhere else to go. Poor guy, I thought. Okay, I said. I said I'd go visit God then. I looked around for something to take to God. Johnny said his grandma takes money. I dug into my front pockets and then my back. Come on, says I to Johnny. He just shook his head and sat on his bike, nodding me up toward the church. I thought about taking my bike in for God. Then I just handed the handlebars to Johnny since my kickstand doesn't work. I walked up toward the big steps, the big door. I walked up the steps, grabbed the big gold door handle, and I looked back. Johnny waved at me to go on. Go, go! I yanked on the door. It wouldn't move. I looked back at Johnny. He waved again. I yanked and leaned back and grunted like grandpa pooping. It opened a bit. I dived inside, landed on the rug, and the big door thudded shut behind me. I was sure I would die in church. I'd never get that door open again, that's for sure. Well, so I went in. I'd need help to get that door open. Maybe I could ask God. It was cold and quiet. I heard echoes. It was my shoes. I walked down the middle lane. It was mostly dark. I stopped. God? I didn't hear anything except the clock ticking somewhere. I felt my heart beating and leaned my head down to try to hear my heart, but my neck wouldn't bend low enough, so I stopped that. I walked all the way to the front fence thing. Hello? God? I looked up to the balcony and back. I walked over big sneaky steps to two little boxes with red curtains, and I looked inside. They had doors. I opened them. God? I guess God wasn't home. Maybe God went bowling. I don't know. That sounds stupid. But where was God? God wasn't there. God! How's God? Said Johnny. What's he like? He's not in there, I said. Has to be, he said. My grandma talks to him. I know, you said, I said. We both went in there together. We looked under every bench, in the two boxes again, up on the stage thing, even up in the balcony. We hollered out, God! God! Anybody home? But there was no God.
Robert S. Thompson here, speaking to you from my regular bench on Main Street. It's actually called Main Street. Quite odd. Johnny and Tommy decided they would try to find God. They sat together in Tommy's bedroom on the floor eating movie theater candy, making big plans. They wrote down a list in Johnny's school notebook about places they could look. The library, the nursing home, the park, the bowling alley. All the old people boring places that God would like. And they would go back to church and sit in there and try to see God and then ask him where he was before and ever since and where was he going to be from now on all the time, forever and ever, past Tuesday. Amen.
Hey, none of the waitress here. Well, not the waitress, a waitress. I am pretty good, though, I gotta say. The burning bush. People ascending into heaven and back. What that sounds like to me is people without the internet thing trying to figure out UFOs. What would you call it if you were the first person ever to see a flying saucer come down and sit in your yard? You'd kneel down and jump up and down and write it all down, start a club and make up special things to say and stuff to wear and extra special days and all sorts of backyard treehouse club shit. That's what you do. The kids on the football team kneel down in the locker room just as Pastor Martin walks in and helps them pray for victory. They pray for victory. Why? Why do they do that? Who's listening? Who cares? They win the football game. Some God who has always been and knows everything. He cares whether they win What if the other team prays too? Uh-oh. And he says, when he hears their prayers, you're my people, my faithful little football player people who carry the football over the white line. And it's good and holy and right that you carry the ball over the line more times than the little football guys in the other locker room. And yes, I grant that you shall win and be happy for a while until you have other tiny little shit to worry about and whine about. And you're my people, my little football player people. The same thing happens in baseball. The player steps on home plate, points up to the sky to say, thank you, God, leading me around the bases. God leaves 10,000 million babies and young kids to die every day from starvation, even though their mothers and fathers cry out in prayer. And yet he took time to, he cared whether this rich man baseball player somehow got around the bases. And people will ask God to help them win in war, too. Help me not get hurt or killed. Help me to see my children again. Help me to kill them, even though they have children, too. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. And God does just that or not. Kind of depends. And when I found out in the magazine that everyone was lying for a long time about who killed the president, John F. Kennedy, I thought about God, about whether there was a God. Because before that, I didn't think people lied, and then I knew they lied about everything. So maybe they were lying about the biggest thing of all. What if we just made up God to make us feel better? It does feel better. Like our mom and dads and grandparents and sisters didn't really die. We'll see them again. That sounds better than the other thing, that there's nothing. Maybe we made up heaven and angels and alleluia and golden sidewalk. I don't know. Do you?
Robert S. Thompson again. Tommy and Johnny sat in the bowling alley drinking pop and peeing one whole Saturday afternoon. They saw an old guy sitting by himself. Hi, Tommy said. They sat there for a while. Are you God? Said Johnny. The man flicked the ash from his cigarette and said, I might be. They sat with the man at his little round table as he drank his drink and smoked. They watched the bowlers and smelled the cigarettes and the beer and the peanuts and listened to the crash of the pins and the ding, ding, ding of the one pinball machine. They got up and walked away after the man left without saying goodbye. He wasn't God, said Johnny. He said he might be, said Tommy. He wasn't, said Johnny. How do you know, said Tommy. He just wasn't, said Johnny. Trust me. They sat in the library and got shushed at least two or three times. They saw three or four old guys who could be God. One fell asleep in his chair, and they watched him sleep for a while. And one was reading the Christian Reformer, and they watched him do that. And then they got on their bikes and followed one guy walking home, but he took forever, and they gave up. They sat in the lobby of the nursing home and smelled pee for as long as they could take it, and then coasted across the highway to the park to see if any old guys were sitting on benches. Tommy sat at the very top of the slide and yelled over at Johnny on the busted rocking horse. What if he's a girl? What? What if God is a girl, you know, a woman? And maybe we walked right past him about 100 times. Johnny got off the horse shaking his head. He stomped up the slide without slipping right up to Tommy grabbing the sides. Only some kids could do that. Tommy was impressed and a little scared. What? So Tommy said it again. God can't be a woman, said Johnny, and he turned and slid down. Why? I don't know, but he's a he, so how can he be a girl? Johnny looked up and shouted. Huh? How? On Sunday, Tommy came over to Johnny's wearing his church clothes. They were school clothes, but now they were church clothes, too. Johnny and Tommy walked in with Johnny's mom and dad, who didn't know why Tommy was with them. Johnny said he wanted to show Tommy the upstairs, so the two of them ran up to the balcony. They went way up to the front, the ledge. The ledge edge where you could lean over and look right down on people's heads and see everyone coming in. Tommy poked Johnny to notice their teacher, Miss Tina, taking her seat. For a while, they watched people and fought the urge to jump or fall on their heads and watched the organ guy work the pedals. Johnny nudged Tommy and nodded, and they both went on the lookout for God like they said they were gonna. They looked behind them, and they looked below, and they looked on the altar and by the ceiling and down Miss Tina's church clothes for God and Jesus and heaven. And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the journalists are about average.
And that's another show. We'd like to thank the Rock Creek Free Press for sponsoring our show. We'd like to mention the New American Dream website, newamericandream.net, the radio show website, theshow.newamericandream.info. And we'd like to thank World News Trust at worldnewstrust.com for hosting our radio show website and the site for all of Mike's books. Join us again, same time, same place, next week. Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Ken Lay. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
I was over in Australia during Easter, which was interesting. Interesting to note they celebrate Easter the same way we do, commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus by telling our children a giant bunny rabbit... left chocolate eggs in the night. Now, I wonder why we're fucked up as a race. Anybody got any clues out there? Or where do you get this shit from, you know? Why those two things, you know? Why not goldfish left Lincoln logs in your sock drawer, you know? As long as we're making shit up, go hog wild, you know? At least a goldfish with a Lincoln log on its back going across your floor to your sock drawer has a miraculous connotation to it.
Mommy, I woke up today and there was a Lincoln log in my sock drawer. That's the story of Jesus.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C., until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city.
On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
New from U.S. author Mike Palachuk, Camp America. Here's what American poet David Ray has to say. Mike Palachuk reminds me of Socrates, the gadfly who asked unwelcome questions, Diogenes with his lantern looking in vain for an honest man, Chekhov, the man with the hammer challenging the complacent family to share their meal, Kerouac, the ever-on-the-move, somewhat hysterical searcher, and he also reminds me of many Americans who as children were so blasted with propaganda that they're devoting the rest of their lives to challenging the lies and all who tell them. In this land where babies are brought by storks and buildings collapse due to unpatriotic bricks, we need the gadfly, because no leader, preacher, guru, or saint will wake us up, though the doomsday clock is ticking close to 12. David Ray, American poet, author of The Endless Search and The Death of Sardanapalus and other poems of the Iraq Wars. To order Camp America and all of Mike Palachuk's books, go to the New American Dream website, www.newamericandream.info. Howard Zinn writes, Mike Palachuk writes with passion, wit, and always with a strong social conscience. Camp America, from author Mike Palachuk. The website again, newamericandream.info.